نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى صدق الله العلي العظيم الحمد لله it's a great favor upon us Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered us here to a very great object for our life and that is for our tazkiyah purification of our soul as we have been discussing over the from yesterday Jumat great importance of tazkiyah, purification of our soul, and how can Islam come into our lives completely and wholly. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O people of Iman, enter into Islam completely. Do not follow the path of Shaitan, because he is your open enemy. So what does it mean to become into Islam completely? There are five branches of Islam which a person has to have in his life to be a complete believer. Number one is our beliefs, which we discussed earlier today. Number two, our actions of worship. Have the day of hope. Number three, our mu'amalat, our business dealings as Muslims, I'm a Muslim first before I'm a businessman. And number four, which we'll discuss now, is mu'ashara. How should we live in our society with people? How must we interact with people? So remember in life, we live, we're going to have a wife, we'll have parents, we'll have children, we'll have neighbors, in-laws, teachers, students, friends. All of these are being instilled in Islam. How must a person fulfill the rights of those people? Islamic social life is based on the following important principles. Number one, don't ever cause harm to other people. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a complete believer is he, for other Muslims are safe from his tongue and hands. The blood, the honor and the property of a Muslim are sacred to another Muslim. This means that one Muslim should not cause any difficulty, inconvenience, harm, ill feelings to any other fellow being. Not only to another Muslim person, even to a Muslim, to a non-Muslim, even to the environment, even to to the animals, every single thing a Muslim will not cause harm. This is one quality of a believer. If we haven't got this quality, we are causing inconvenience to people. Many times it happens, the person stops his car in this parking lot, behind somebody else, it causes inconvenience. It shows his Iman is not complete as yet, his Islam is not complete as yet. So this is the first principle, don't cause harm to others. Number two, fulfill others' rights. Today the whole world, everyone is crying, I want my rights. Islam teaches us, you fulfill the rights of others, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you fulfill the rights of the other people and ask Allah Ta'ala for your rights. The whole world is saying, I want my rights. Don't ask for your rights. Fulfill the rights of the people. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah won't ask you, did another person fulfill your rights? Allah will ask you, did you fulfill that person's rights? So this is the second important point. Number three, for going of one's rights and forgiveness. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever gives up an argument, then he is in the right. A palace will be built for him in the middle of Jannah. You're having a fight with somebody, you're right, but you don't fight with the person. As soon as you leave it, one palace will be built in the middle of Jannah. And whoever has good behavior, akhlaq and character, the palace will be built for him in the highest places of Jannah. So this is what we are desiring. So we must fulfill the right of others, overlook our faults. Number four, a person must have humility, humbleness. The first point is to honor one another and to serve one another. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, any youngster who shows respect to an elderly person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint when he gets old, somebody to show respect to him. So we respect other people, others will respect us. So we should have this quality within ourselves. How can I make khidmat, how can I serve other people? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of suspicion, because it is the worst of lies. Do not eavesdrop. Do not spy on one another. Do not compete against each another. Do not be jealous of one another. Do not bear malice and enmity towards each other. And do not turn away from each other. O servants of Allah, remain like brothers as Allah has commanded you. A Muslim is a brother to another Muslim. He neither wrongs him, he neither abandons helping him, he neither belittles him. Piety is here, and the beast of Allah has pointed to the chest three times. It is sufficient as a sin to despise a Muslim brother. You hate him, you dislike him, it's a sin. Every belonging to a Muslim is unlawful to another Muslim. His life, his honor and his wealth. Allah does not look at your bodies, nor your appearances. How Allah has made you, Allah doesn't look at it. But He looks at your heart and your deeds, your actions. For example, you are performing salah, you are wearing the Islamic clothing, He looks at that. But your outward appearance, an example of how your face is, Allah made you like that. Your color of your skin, Allah doesn't look at that. And then the first point is simplicity. Part of our Islamic social life is simplicity. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, simplicity is part of Iman. When a person adopts simplicity, it becomes easy to fulfill the rights of others, and one is safe from jealous eyes. Simplicity should be adopted in our dressing, in our homes, in our vehicles, in our marriages, in our funerals. Humility, humble ourselves. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, let man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. You humble yourself for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will raise you. And if you have pride in your heart, equal to your atom's weight, this person will not enter Jannah, he will not enter paradise. Remember, if you want to create unity in the ummah, it will only be created by humility. As long as there is pride amongst people, there will always be fights. And the last point is, abstaining from the ways of the disbelievers. This is part of Islamic life. Do not imitate the ways of the non-believers. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever you imitate will be regarded amongst them. Islam has got its own system and way of life. You should either follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our pious predecessors. So this is the important part of our deen, our social life, how we are living with, interacting with other people. Islam has given us many, many guidelines about this. There is one kitab, it's called Adab al-Mu'ashara. We can study this kitab, inshallah, and there are many, many laws they have mentioned, how must a person live with other people. There are other books also on the subject. We should try to learn these laws and try to fulfill the rights of others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all tawfiq. Inshallah, next, we will be having a bayan, a lecture, by Hazrat Mawlana Mufti Muhammad Desai Sahib, Salam Barakatuh, who is the Khalifa of our Sheikh and Ustad, Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib, Salam Barakatuh. He is also one of the Muftis, person who passes fatwa, the royal verdicts, Islamic verdicts in the Darul Uloom in Zagreb. Throughout the world, they are sending out the fatwa and the questions, and people are sending in questions. He says this, mashallah, he is teaching in the Hifz class also, and he is doing imamat also. Many, many khidmat and services of deen he is involved in. So, inshallah, we will call him to give us some words. Yes.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تخزني يوم يبعثون يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama, elders, beloved brothers, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was Abu al-Anbiya, the father of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And we find that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in this day and age as well, in fact, all the religions, he is very, very highly respected amongst all people. And similarly, we find the du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. These are such precious du'as that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in various parts of the Quran Sharif, Allah ta'ala has recorded these du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. After the Asr Salah, Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Rahman Sahib had made mention of a few du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, which we will repeat again. Because these du'as are extremely valuable. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had built Baytullah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ, that remember the time when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had raised the foundations of Baytullah and his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. This indicates that Baytullah was always there. Baytullah had come down with Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam only raised the foundation of Baytullah. Allah Ta'ala mentioned another place, وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ, we showed Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam the place of Baytullah, where Baytullah is. So he basically raised the foundation of Baytullah. And Baytullah was always there from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. وَإِسْمَعِيل, and his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam had assisted him. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi explains a very, very important point. He said that both father and son had built Baytullah. The father was the one that did the actual construction, the actual building. And the son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, he was the one that would transport the bricks, the rocks, whatever was required in the building, he would transport this. But we find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when he makes mention of this, Allah ta'ala says, وَإِذْ يَرْفَوْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْبَيْتِ, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam built Baytullah. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam is brought later on. So he said in this verse of the Quran Sharif, there is a lesson of adab that is to be taken. Etiquette should be taken, that whenever there is a senior that has done some work, and a junior also done the work with the senior, always attribute the work to the senior, even though the junior is a partner in it as well. So therefore here the work is attributed to Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, and Ismail alayhi salatu salam had assisted his father Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. So after building Baytullah, such a great project he had built, thereafter he makes dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What dua does he make? Rabbana taqabbal minna. O Allah, this building of Baytullah, that your house, which is actually the qibla of all the masajid of the world, all the masajid of the world are facing in the direction of Baytullah. He makes his dua, Allah, it is not worthy of acceptance. Out of your kindness, O Allah, you accept this effort from us. So this is the first dua Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam makes. The second dua Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam makes after building Baytullah, Rabbana waj'alna muslimainila. O Allah, make us submitters to you. Those that will submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he doesn't suffice there, but he remembers his progeny that is to come right after the day of Qiyamah. وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَّهُ. And our progeny is also, Allah, make them such a nation that is submissive to you. Why is it that this dua of submission is made after building Baytullah? Because if Baytullah is built, the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is built, but nobody comes into Baytullah to perform salah. There is nobody that is coming to make tawaf of Baytullah. There is nobody that is coming to make tilawat of Quran Sharif in Baytullah. What is the objective of Baytullah? So therefore, he, on this occasion, after building Baytullah, he makes this dua that, Allah, make us also submitters to you. And our progenies to come till the day of Qiyamah, make them also submissive to you, so that they will come into Baytullah and they will make ibadat in Baytullah. So see how valuable the du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam are. How much of wisdom in the du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala records it in the Quran Sharif. Then he makes du'a, Nabi Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam makes a final du'a in Surah Al-Baqarah which is recorded. And what is this du'a? He sets the syllabus for the final Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that is to come, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. And what du'a does he make here? Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasula. O Allah, send amongst them a Rasul. What is the work of this Rasul? What is the syllabus of this Rasul? Yatlu alayhim ayatik. That he will recite upon them your kitab. He will recite your verses upon them, referring to Quran Sharif. As Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Pulpuri rahmatullah alayhi used to say, this work of recitation of Quran, this is done today by our makatib. The little children that are going to the madrasas, they are learning how to recite Quran Sharif. So this is one of the objectives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Secondly, he makes dua that he will teach them the kitab, to teach them the Quran Sharif and wisdom. Referring to the commentary of Quran Sharif, tafsir of Quran Sharif. And hikmah refers to hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That one of the primary objectives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to teach the commentary of Quran and the commentary of the hadith of Rasulullah, the commentary of the hadith. And the third dua that he makes, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, that the syllabus of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will also include that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make tazkiyah, he will purify people. So we find that these are the primary objectives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made dua. Another dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes mention in the 13th para. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَا. O my Rabb, make me such that we establish your salah. And our progenies, here also, he remembers the progenies that is to come, that make them also such that they will establish salah. He makes dua, Rabbana firli, O Rabb, forgive me also. Wali walidayya, forgive my parents also. Walil mu'mineena yawma yakumul hisab. And forgive the believers also on the day of Qiyamah. So here again, a great valuable dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that dua for forgiveness on the day of Qiyamah. He remembered himself, he remembered his parents also, he remembered his progenies also that is to come for the day of Qiyamah. And the ayat of the Quran Sharif that I have recited, here again is a great dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And what is this dua? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is concerned of the day of Qiyamah. In this world, a person, he gets involved in some wrong. He gets involved in some sin. How he ducks, how he dies. He doesn't want anyone to know about it. Why? If my friends are going to know, I'm going to be humiliated. If my community are going to come to know, I'm going to be humiliated. The people of my masjid will come to know, I'm going to be humiliated. So what dua does he make? He makes dua for the day of Qiyamah. That on the day of Qiyamah, not that I can duck and dive also, but every person from the time of Adam alayhi salam, every person right up till the day of Qiyamah, the last person that is to come, every person is going to be present. And not only every person is going to be present, but whatever a person does, everything is going to be now played on the big screen. Every person is going to be able to watch that what was the actions of this person. In this world, the wife thought, my husband was a saint. The husband thought, my wife is a saint. But what was done behind the curtains, nobody knows. So here on the day of Qiyamah, husband will be sitting also. He will come to know about the wife. The wife will be sitting. She will come to know about the husband. Children will come to know about the parents. Parents will come to know about children. Imagine that day of Qiyamah. So he makes dua, وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. Wallah, don't disgrace me, don't humiliate me. On that day when we will be resurrected, on that day in the Maidan al-Hashr, in the plains of resurrection, Wallah, don't humiliate me, don't disgrace me. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Further he makes dua, he says that this is a day, la yanfa'u mal, that wealth will not benefit a person. A person that's got money in this world, what he thinks, I got contacts. If I have a problem, I'll sort it out. I got contacts in this department. I got contacts in that department. If I haven't got contacts, very, very easy. Today bribery is so rife. So I'll just use my means, I'll use my money. So on that day Allah Ta'ala says, your wealth also won't benefit you. Wala banoon, and children also, on that day of Qiyamah, your children also will be of no benefit to a person. So what is it that will assist a person on the day of Qiyamah? What will benefit a person on the day of Qiyamah? Illa man atallaha biqalbin saleem. That person that comes before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with a sound heart. A person that comes with the sound heart before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, this will be a successful person on the day of Qiyamah. Ya wa Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib Daun Barakatum, he beautifully explains this entire subject to us. We cannot even do justice to it, we will basically spoil it. But in whatever little we understood, we will try and explain this, that what are the signs of a sound heart. There are 5 signs, and a person should give himself marks also out of 10. That am I passing or am I failing in these signs? That do I have these 5 qualities in me? The first sign that he mentioned of a sound heart, الَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَعْلَهُ فِي الْبِرْ. That a person, he spends his wealth in places of virtue. Here a person should ask himself that where do I spend my money? When it comes to entertainment, am I happy to spend? When it comes to holidays, am I happy to spend? But at the same time, when it comes to spending on my child's madrasa fees, am I spending on my child's madrasa fees? That madrasa fee perhaps he has to pay thrice a year. Every term he will have to pay a particular amount. Am I prepared to spend voluntarily and happily over there? When it comes to discharging my zakat, which is calculated once a year, and that to only 2.5% of the wealth of a person. 97.5% of the wealth a person keeps for himself. From that 97.5% you keep for yourself, 2.5% Allah Ta'ala says that you give. And that 2.5% also, who has given it to us? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given that 2.5% to us as well. So everything Allah Ta'ala has given us, and just 2.5% Allah Tabaraka Wa Ta'ala is asking for. And that too after 4 seasons of the year has passed. The months of summer has also passed. The months of winter also have passed. Autumn has also passed. Spring has also passed. That in our businesses, there are certain items that sell only in the month of summer. Some items sell in the month of autumn. Some sell in the months of winter, blankets, jackets, etc. So here Allah Ta'ala has given us a fair amount of time that let 4 seasons of the month pass. And then Allah Ta'ala says 2.5% of your wealth, now discharge your zakat. This is regarding that which is farz, that is compulsory, that zakat a person has to discharge. So here, where is a person spending his wealth? Is he discharging his zakat? Is he spending in the madrasas, in the makatib, etc.? So a person should ask himself. It is mentioned, Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alim ajma'een, they proved to the entire ummah that whenever there was a need, they spent happily in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We will just mention a few incidents. For example, on the occasion of the Battle of Tabuk, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked Sahaba Ridwanullahi alim ajma'een to donate. That here we got a battle that is coming up. The distance also is very, very far. It is the hot months of summer also. Normally Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when undertaking a journey, he wouldn't explain to Sahaba accurately what is his intention. In which direction are we heading? Why there were munafiqeen also that were present? But this particular journey, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained to them that this is our direction, this is the distance that we have to cover, and we have to fight against the kuffar. So here, spend generously and give in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he thought to himself that this is such an occasion that I will today surpass Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. I never had the opportunity of surpassing Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, but today I have an opportunity, I will surpass Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. So he brought his wealth, whatever he had, and he donated, he gave in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he brought whatever he possessed, he gave this in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now comes the time of the test. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu ta'ala that, O Umar, what have you given in the path of Allah? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala responds, and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, half of my wealth I have brought and I have given in the path of Allah. Whatever assets I have, whatever wealth I have, 50% in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the remaining 50% I have left for my family. He asked Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala that, O Abu Bakr, what have you given in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala says that every single, in our terminology, every single cent, the last penny that I had, I brought it and I gave it in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. O Abu Bakr, what have you left for your wife? What have you left for your family? Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why it is the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the darja and the status of Nubuwwat, the highest rank is that of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So we find that this is how Sahaba spent in the path of Allah. On this very same occasion, on the occasion of the Battle of Tabuk, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned that there were three Sahaba that did not have the ability of participating in this battle. وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا. Allah ta'ala makes mention of this in the 11th para. Ka'b ibn Malik, Murara ibn Rabi, and Hilal ibn Umayyah. These three Sahaba never had the opportunity of participating in the battle. They delayed for whatever reason, and they thought to themselves that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam returns, we will make some excuse before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and we will get away. And generally the munafiqeen, they would come with their false excuses and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would tolerate the excuses. So they also thought that ye to bola bala aadmi hai, very simple person Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will always inform Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam regarding the munafiqeen. So these Sahaba also thought that we will make some excuse. But finally when the time arrived and they came into the presence of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they did not make any excuse. But they spoke this truth. Because of this Allah ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu taqullah. O people of iman, fear Allah. Wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Be with the truthful ones. In this context, who does it refer to? These three Sahaba. That year they never spoke a lie to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they will be titled as the truthful right up to the day of Qiyamah. Till people recite Quran Sharif, they are regarded as those that are the truthful ones. So it is mentioned that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them when they met Nabi alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala will decide what is your affair. So here for approximately 50 days, no contact, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam does not speak to them. Here Sahaba are now instructed that you're not to interact with these three Sahaba. Nobody must speak to them. After 40 days had passed and elapsed, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells their wives that you also now separate from your husbands. You got nothing to do with your husbands whatsoever. Amongst the three, one Sahabi, his wife comes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my husband is a very, very elderly person. He cannot even make his own khidmat. He cannot take care of himself. That am I allowed to make khidmat of my husband? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, no problem. You take care of your husband. Make khidmat of your husband. But you cannot have any relations with your husband as well. So nevertheless, now these three Sahaba, for 40 days, 50 days had passed. On the 50th day, it is mentioned now the Basharat comes down. Now the glad tidings come down. That now the Tawbah of these three Sahaba have been accepted. They become so happy that now our Tawbah has been accepted. Sahaba will be making salam to us. Nabi alayhi salam will be now once again be in interaction and conversing with us. It is mentioned all the wealth that they had. They brought all this wealth and they came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, the truth is this. That this is the wealth that had actually obstructed us from going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today this very same wealth that obstructed us, every single penny that is here, every cent that is here, we are giving it in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Again, look at the justice of Sharia. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does he say? He says, no. That up to one third you can give, two thirds take it back for your family. But this was the jazbah, this was the desire that Sahaba had. When it came to spending in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, every single cent was spent in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When the battle of Badr had taken place, it is mentioned Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had no intention of fighting against the kuffar. They came out for that caravan that had left Makkah Sharif and had gone down to Sham, to Syria. And they had gone for business, they had gone for trading. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out for the caravan. Because all the people of Makkah, they invested in this caravan. And they said that the profit that we will accrue from here, that will be used to fight against the mu'mineen, against the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went behind the caravan. And it is mentioned finally that Abu Sufyan, he found out that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has come out. So he sent a very, very fast rider. You go to Makkah Sharif and get an army ready in Makkah al-Mukarramah to fight against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba. So this army is now prepared in Makkah Sharif. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stops. He wants to make mashwara that what should we do? Should we fight against the kuffar or should we let them go? So here Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the Sahaba, what should we do? Muhajir Sahabi wakes up. He says, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we are with you. We prepare to fight and give our lives for your deen. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam keeps silent. The same question is posed for the second time. Again a Muhajir Sahabi wakes up. A person that made hijrat, migrated from Makkah and came to Madinah to Munawwara. He stands up and he says, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we prepare to give our lives and fight. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam keeps silent. The third time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked this question, now Sahaba understood that the Muhajireen are not being referred to, but the Ansar and the residents of Madinatul Munawwara, they are being referred to over here. So immediately as the Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala stands up, and he tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, fad'an haythu shi'ita, that wherever you want to go, you go. You want to fight against the kuffar, no problem. You go, you fight against the kuffar. And then he said, wasil habla man shi'ita, waqta' habla man shi'ita, that whomsoever you want to join with, you go and join with such people. Whoever you want to cut off ties with, then you cut off ties with such people. Wasalim man shi'ita, wa'adi man shi'ita. And if you want to enter into a peace contract, into a peace treaty with a certain group of people, you enter into a peace treaty with a certain group of people. And if you want to have enmity with a certain group of people, then you have enmity with a certain group of people. And the point that I'm coming to, what we are explaining, he said, وَخُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِنَا مَا شِئْتَ, that from our wealth, whatever you want to, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you take our wealth, and you spend our wealth. And then he said, that wealth which you take from us, and you spend from us, that wealth is more beloved to us than that wealth that you leave behind for our families. So we find this is Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ajma'in, that this quality, this was the sign that was found in them of Qalb Salim, الَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ فِي الْبِرِ. Here Hazrat mentioned a very important point. He says a person that spends in the path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, many a time we think we are now our money is going to go away. If you got 1,000 rand, you spend 200 rand, our money is going to be short. We're going to have 800 rand. He says, no. You're just moving from one account to another account. A person living in South Africa, Swiss account is very, very valuable to him. He wants a Swiss account. We want offshore investments. We don't only want an investment in our country, but offshore investment. We want to invest in Dubai. Why? Tomorrow if there's a problem in South Africa, we know we can move over to the next country. So here what a person is doing. That wealth which Allah Ta'ala has given us, when he spends in the path of Allah, you're just moving it from your account of dunya. You are now transferring to the account of akhirah. And you're going to enjoy it in the akhirah. Another thought that always comes to a person, that if I'm going to continue spending like this in the path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, my wealth is going to be exhausted. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala promises in the Quran, وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ, that whatever wealth you spend in the path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the recompense of that, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give it to you. When Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, when Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh had passed away, and Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh had become the Amir of the Tabligh Jamaat, so at that time people came to Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. They told him that now you must watch your expenditure, that make sure that everything, your budget is in order. Where are we going to get finances from? In the time of Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah, we had no problem. But you better be careful now. As Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah, on that occasion he said, the giving hand is still the same. The taking hand has only changed. It was coming in the hands of Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Now it is coming in the hands of Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So whatever a person spends, we find that Allah Ta'ala will give him and Allah Ta'ala will multiply him in this very same world. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions of a kafir in the Quran Sharif, 27 para. أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى. Walid ibn Mughira, he accepted Islam, and thereafter a friend comes to him and he says, what have you done? You accepted Islam. He says, yes, I fear akhirat. I fear the day of Qiyamah. He says, what you worried about the day of Qiyamah? He said, the azab of akhirat, the fire of Jahannam. I fear the fire of Jahannam. So he says, what you worried? You give me money every month, I'll take care of you. That azab of the akhirat, I'm prepared to take it for you as well. So now when a person, we find when he's not on deen, then this is what happens to the intelligence of a person also. Where can his friend take the azab of the akhirat? So he starts giving him money. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَعْطَى قَلِيلًا وَأَدَّى. He started giving him little money. So the friend after some time, he says, no, that's not enough. You come, give me more money also. So he says, no, more than this I can't give you. So then he stops now, because he cannot give him more money. So Allah Ta'ala says, أَعِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْغَيْبِ فَهُوَ يَرَى. Walid ibn Mughira, did you have knowledge of the unseen? That you knew that this man was going to take your adab in the akhirah? So that is one tafsir and explanation that has been given. Mufassireen and the commentators of Quran have made another tafsir over here as well. And what they have explained, أَعِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْغَيْبِ فَهُوَ يَرَى. This refers to a person that is spending in the path of Allah. And what happens, a time comes perhaps in his life, and he thinks to himself that if I'm going to continue spending like this in the path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, my wealth is going to be exhausted. Very soon I'll have nothing for myself and my family. So there the question goes to that person. Do you have knowledge of the unseen? And can you see that your wealth is going to be exhausted? Or Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to continue giving you? So that is not in our knowledge. You continue giving, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give you the recompense of that. It is mentioned that in Delhi, as Imam Abdul Hamid Sahib Dawan Barakatum had once mentioned to us, he said that in Delhi, there was a businessman, very, very wealthy business people. So they were involved in the arms business. Arms and ammunition they used to sell. When the India and Pakistan, the partition came about, then at that time people had to leave India overnight and they had to move over to Pakistan. Whatever they had, their clothing, whatever, that few items they could take and they could go. Besides that, everything else they must leave behind at home, and now you must move over to Pakistan. So these people, their businesses, etc., all was in Delhi. So they had to leave all this and they had to move over to Pakistan. But fortunately what happened was there was a container of theirs that they had ordered, of arms and ammunition. So this was to arrive here in Delhi. So what they did, they immediately contacted that company and they told them that this arms and ammunition that you want to send over here, we are now moving over to Pakistan. So you send these goods over to Pakistan, we will receive it in Pakistan. So all these goods were now shipped over to Pakistan. At that time, the Pakistani government was just formed. They were in need of arms and ammunition at that particular time. So they sold it to the Pakistani government at a very, very high price. They got very, very good profit. And immediately they were back on the road and they were moving. So then the owner of this company, he explained, and he said that why is it that we did, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala very, very quickly put us back onto our feet. He says that our grandfather, look at the good that a person's forefathers done. The forefather, he has done good. We find this has an effect on the progenies to come. And at the same time, we find that evil that is done by a particular person, this affects progenies to come as well. So he said our forefather, he says that he used to give zakat 2.5% every year. But in spite of giving that zakat, approximately the same amount, whether it was 2.5 or 5, I cannot recall correctly. But he said approximately the same amount that was also given in sadaqah all the time. So he says that this is the result of that sadaqah that he had given, that today when we are in difficulty, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has taken care of us as well. On another occasion, Imam Abdul Hamid Sahib Dawan Barakatum, he mentioned that there was a particular person that was in Azadwal, his name was Faqir Saleh. He says that this person used to come with me into the Jami Masjid of Azadwal. And he says at that particular time, the biggest note, the biggest denomination was the 20 rand note. He says when he used to come into the masjid after performing salah, he used to tell me that when I came into the masjid, I used the toilet facilities. I used the water in the toilet. I used the wuzu khana. I used the water in the wuzu khana. There were towels that were ready for me kept to dry myself. So he used to take out a 20 rand. He says, this is for the water that I have used. This is for the wuzu facilities that I have used. For the toilet facilities that I have used. He will take a few steps. And then he will say that when I came for salah, somebody had called me, the muazzin had called me. Somebody is paying the salary of that muazzin as well. Then somebody had performed the salah, he led me in that salah. Somebody is paying the salary of the imam sahab as well. So he used to take out another 20 rand note. And he says, this is for the salary of the imam sahab. And this is for the salary of the muazzin that is calling me 5 times a day. Thereafter he would take another few steps. And he would say that the electricity of the masjid is being utilized. The carpet, there's wear and tear in the masjid. So he says, for that also somebody is paying. For that he will take out another 20 rand. And he will give that 20 rand as well. So we find that in this way, he used to give and spend in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He has also mentioned on many times, he says that we using the masjid facilities, do we ever go up to the mutawallis? Do we ever thank them that we come into the masjid, everything is in order. The mic system is in order. There's hot water on a cold day. On a hot day, the air conditions are working. On a hot day, the fans are working. Everything is working. Do we ever go once and say Jazakallah? That imam that is leading us in salah for so many years of our life, did we ever tell him one day, Jazakallah Imam Sahab, may Allah Ta'ala reward you. So beautifully you perform the salah, we enjoy your qiraat. The muazzin that is calling us, do we ever thank him as well? So we find that this is the first sign of a healthy heart, الَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ فِي الْبِرِ. That person that spends his wealth in acts of charity, in acts of virtue, we find this is an indication that the heart of a person is in order. The second sign that has been mentioned, that indicates that the heart of a person is in order, الَّذِي يُرْشِدُ بَنِيهِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. That person that directs his children towards the truth, he directs his children towards haqq, that person, his heart is in order. Today ask ourselves that what is the condition of our children, do we even know? If that child is with us, that son of us is with us, the 20-year-old, 21-year-old, he is with us in the business, and whilst we are conducting business, if that boy had to do some transaction in the business, which was to our detriment, then what happens? We will blow the roof. If that child had to now, that son had to, for example, knock the car, scrape that car a little bit, then that's the end of the world. So much of noise do we make, but at the time of Fajr, if he is not performing his Fajr Salah, do we even tell him anything, enjoy anything? In Johannesburg, there was one occasion where we find that there was a dispute, husband and wife, they were having normal husband and wife dispute, so they wanted to go their own ways, they wanted a divorce. So there was a young boy, this child was 12 years of age. I'm talking in today's time, this is perhaps a few months ago, 12 years of age. So nevertheless, when we met this young boy, so he greets us by saying hello. So I asked him, I said, don't you know how to make salam? So he says, no, I know how to make salam. He immediately makes salam. So the first question that came to my mind, I asked him, I told him, do you go to madrasa? So he says, I do go to madrasa, but at the moment there's some problem between my father and my mother, because of which I'm not going into madrasa. So they did not disclose this, but after a few weeks, while we were discussing and trying to resolve this issue, later on the mother speaks out and she says that the husband is not telling you. This child is 12 years old. He hasn't seen the doorstep of the madrasa till today. So I said the prime life of the child is gone. What he's supposed to acquire was in these 12 years. So you have lost that already. Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullahi, on one occasion, when we were young, we were in high school. So one occasion we went in Jamaat for 10 days with Haji Sahab Rahmatullahi. So he was a person of great wisdom as well. So it is every masjid that he went. We went to Northern Natal, Newcastle, Dundee, Denhauser, all those areas we covered. Every masjid that Haji Sahab Rahmatullahi went to, he said that give your children the knowledge of deen. Make them ulama of deen. Make them hufaz of deen. He says that otherwise what will happen if you deprive them of deeni knowledge and Islamic knowledge, a time will come when you leave this world. They will cry for a few days for you. He said after that the dispute is only for the inheritance and nothing more than that. In the time of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, on one occasion Isa alayhi salatu wasalam passed by the Qabristan. So when he passed by the Qabristan, he found that a particular person was being given azab in the Qabr. So nevertheless, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam made dua, whatever it might be, and he continued with his journey. After some time, he passed by the very same Qabristan, but that person was being given azab. That azab was now lifted. So Isa alayhi salam makes dua to Allah, that Allah, this man is deceased, he is gone. When a man passes away, he cannot do any actions. So how is it that the azab has been lifted from this person? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala informs Isa alayhi salatu wasalam that, oh Isa, when this person he passes away, he left behind a little boy. When this boy came of age, 5 years old, 6 years old, whatever it might be, he's ready to now go to madrasa. He says the mother took this child and the mother put this child into madrasa. The first thing that the ustaz starts teaching the child, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah who is Rahman, most beneficent, who is most merciful. Allah ta'ala says that masoom, that little child, innocent child, he is calling me Rahman, he is calling me Rahim, and I punish the father. He says, I couldn't take it. Immediately I lifted up this adab. So we find this is the importance of Islamic knowledge. Yesterday Hazrat Maulana Musa Sahab also made mention, he said that today in the schools, do we even know what they are teaching our children in schools? Darwin's theory of evolution. This is against the verse of Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala mentioned the Quran, Alladhi khalaqakum min nafsi wahida. Allah Ta'ala created you from one soul, from Adam alayhi salam. Wa khalaqa minha zawjaha. And from the soul Adam, Allah Ta'ala created his spouse, Hazrat Hawa alayhi salatu salam, from the rib of Adam alayhi salatu salam. And Allah Ta'ala says from here, wa batta minhuma rijalan kathira wa nisa'a. Mankind has spread out from this union of Adam and Hawa. Today they are saying that our forefathers, we are from monkeys. In so much so that not only in South Africa, as Maulana mentioned on one occasion, he said that a certain student came from Makkah Sharif and he came to study in the Darul Ulum. So when he was there, his parents were there as well, they brought him down. So a particular person from the madrasa, he decided to take the parents for a drive. And he takes them to a particular place where they explain Darwin's theory of evolution. So he told them that, do you know this is Darwin's theory of evolution? This is kufr. Then how can we ever believe in this? He says that you'd be surprised. In the schools of Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif, they are teaching Darwin's theory of evolution. That they are saying that we are from monkeys. Quran says we are from Adam alayhi salatu salam. A person rejects one verse of Quran, he has lost his iman. They have to go for umrah upon umrah, go for hajj upon hajj, hold the ghilaf of Kaaba Sharif and make dua. What is the benefit? Iman is not in order. Today they believing in the Big Bang theory. A Big Bang took place and the world came into existence. Quran says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا. That the heavens and the earth were sealed, they were closed. Allah Ta'ala says, فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا. We opened the heavens and the earth. Mufassirin have given different explanations to this. One explanation that they have given to this is that the heavens and the earth, they were joined together. Allah Ta'ala moved the heaven to its place. Allah Ta'ala put the earth on its place. And this is how the world came into existence. This is one meaning of this. Another meaning of this, that the heavens and the earth were closed. The heavens never send down any rain. The earth never grow any crops. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala brought the system where the rain started coming down from the top. Now crops started growing from the bottom. So this Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala brought into existence. Here Hazrat mentions a beautiful point. He says a person got a glass of water. And this glass of water from this height, if I take it and I throw it on the floor where there's tiles, what is going to happen to that glass? Obviously that glass is going to break. So here a small bang and the glass breaks. And they making us believe that there was a big bang and the whole world came into existence. When something small falls and it breaks, how can something big now have a bang and all of a sudden something comes into existence? So this is all the monkey business that they are teaching us. So nevertheless, these are the things that have been taught in school. As Maulana mentioned on another occasion, he said that before 1994 elections, we find that the Department of Education, they had a seminar that took place. In there, one of the topics that they had discussed, that why is it that Shakespeare is being taught in school? Shakespeare is Victorian English. Today nobody speaks thou, etc. That type of Victorian English is not used. So much so, a person that is studying medicine and he has to become a doctor. Previously, as Imran mentioned, that perhaps two set works of Shakespeare used to be taught at metric level, at grade 12. Two sets of Shakespeare have to be taught. So they said, what is the need for teaching Shakespeare? And not only in English, but we find that in French also, that Shakespeare has been translated into the French language. A person, he wants to study vocabulary, it must be in his own language. The translation can never do justice to this. So here also, why is it that Shakespeare is being taught? So then finally they came to the conclusion and they said that Shakespeare is being taught, we got an objective behind it. And the objective behind this is this, that we want to create a modern Western Christian mindset. That child that is there, by the time he graduates at grade 12, he's got a modern Western Christian mindset that he comes with. So in other words, what did they do? The entire mind of the child they have taken away. They possess the mind of the child. They controlling and manipulating the mind of the child. And you keep now working for the child. You give the child food. You give the child clothing. All the expenses are upon you. But we will control the mind of the child. So today, sit with our children. Spend some time with our children. And ask our children that what are they studying in school. Spend some time with them. So this is the second sign that the heart of a person is healthy. الَّذِي يُرْشِدُ بَنِيهِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. The third sign of a healthy heart. الَّذِي لَا يَكُونُ فِي قَلْبِهِ الْأَقَائِدُ الْبَاطِلَ. That person that has got no corrupt aqaid and beliefs in his heart. This is an indication that the heart of a person is in order. Here also we should see that what type of beliefs do we have? Are all our beliefs in accordance to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Or are we drifting away? Many people, they say we are very, very good Muslims. But at the same time, what type of beliefs do they have? They believe in superstition. How many people are following the stars that are in the magazine? What effect can the stars have on our life? So people are following the stars. Many people believe in bad luck. That if a cat runs across the road whilst we are driving, that is a sign of bad luck. If the cat is crying at night, in the morning we're going to get news, somebody has passed away. What's the crying of the cat got to do with somebody passing away? What's the running of the cat across the road got to do with bad luck? In the hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam teaches us, La adwa, there is no contagiousness in diseases. La adwa, no contagiousness in diseases. Many a times there's an epidemic that has broken out. In one home, for example, 7 people are living. But out of the 7, there are 5 people that are ill. The other 2 people, they're absolutely healthy. If there was contagiousness in diseases, everyone would have been ill. So the hadith teaches us, La adwa, wala tiyara. There's no such thing as bad luck. In the time of Arabs, this was amongst the pagan Arabs. They wanted to do some work, they would fly a bird. If the bird would go towards the right, now there's a sign of good luck, we will move with this. And if it went towards the left, then we will not undertake this journey, for example, or carry out this job. This is bad luck. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, إِن تَكُنِ تِيَرَةُ فِي شَيْءٍ فَفِي الدَّارِ وَالْفَرَسِ وَالْمَرْأَةِ. If there was bad luck, it would have been in 3 things. فَفِي الدَّارِ, in the home of a person. How in the home that you got a neighbor that is troubling you all the time? But then also there's no bad luck. Why? Shariat has made it permissible. You sell your house, you go, you buy a house in another area. So فَفِي الدَّارِ وَالْفَرَسِ, you know, on a horse. In today's terminology, in the car, you're more under the car than inside the car. The car is giving you so much of problems. Then also, no bad luck. You sell the car, repay it, sell it, and you buy another car. Wafil mar'a, a woman, for example, she is now barren. She cannot give birth to a child for you. So that is a sign of bad luck. No problem. You got one wife, she cannot give children, have a second wife. You'll have children from the second wife also. So we find that in Sharia, there is no such a thing as bad luck. And the 13th Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, wala hamma. There is no, hamma refers to the owl. That they in pagan Arabs, they believe if the owl came and sat on your home, that is a sign of bad luck. So here also Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam negated this. Wala safar, and there's no bad luck in the month of Safar. So we find that our aqaid, our belief should be in order. The fourth aspect that indicates that the heart of a person is in order. الَّذِي لَا يَكُونُ فِي قَلْبِي غَلَبَةُ الشَّهَوَاتِ الَّذِي تُعَدِّي إِلَى النَّارِ. That person, he doesn't have so much of desire in his heart, haram desires in his heart, that will take a person الَّذِي تُعَدِّ إِلَى النَّارِ will take him towards the fire of Jahannam. That here a person, every person has lust. Every person has desire in his heart. No problem. Every person inclines towards woman. If a person says that I don't incline towards woman, then that person is lying to you. Or if he's not lying to you, then he's not a man. He's some other species. Because he doesn't incline towards a woman. A man, he definitely inclines towards woman. If fire doesn't melt before butter, if butter doesn't melt before fire, what is going to happen to it? Do you call that butter? That is not butter. Butter will definitely going to melt. It's definitely going to melt. Similarly, we find a man, when he sees a woman, automatically Allah Ta'ala has made him such that a man inclines towards woman. So here what a person is required to do, that desire which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has placed in a person, that a person has to control. And the main cause for that desire is the eyes. If the eyes of a person is controlled, we find that the private part, the chastity of a person is controlled. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, addressing the youth, he said, Ya ma'ashara shabab, O group of young boys, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. That who has the ability of getting married, you get married. And by you getting married, what will happen? فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ This will lower your gaze. It will allow you to keep your gazes down. وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْضِ And it will allow you to protect your chastity. Quran Sharif 18th part, Allah Ta'ala mentions, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you say to the believers, Ya Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives a separate command for the men to lower the gaze. Allah Ta'ala gives a separate command for the woman to lower the gaze. So Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ Tell the believers to lower the gaze. وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ And protect their chastity. Look at the hadith, look at the sequence. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, by you getting married, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَحْسَنُ فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ You will lower your gaze and protect your chastity. In this verse of Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, that tell the believers, lower their gaze. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ And thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, they will protect their chastity. So we find that if the eyes of a person is protected, the chastity of a person is also protected. So we find that this is the first sign that the heart of a person is in order. And the last sign which I will terminate on, where it is mentioned that it indicates that the heart of a person is in order, الَّذِي لَا يَكُونُ فِي قَلْبِهِ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ That there's no ghayrullah in the heart of a person. Only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is in the heart of a person. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is in the heart of a person, Allah becomes ours. What more does a person need in the world? Therefore one poet, he says, Ek tu mera to har shay meri. Wallah, if you are mine, everything is mine. Zameen meri, falak mera. The earth is also mine. The heaven is also mine. Ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri. Wallah, if you are not mine, nothing is mine. I can be driving the latest Mercedes Benz on the market, but if you are not mine, wallah, the Mercedes Benz is not mine also. I may be living in a 3-story building. I got a jacuzzi and I got a swimming pool in that building also. But wallah, if you are not mine, that building also is not mine. Wallah, if you are not mine, that wife that I have in the house, she will turn against me. That wife also is not mine. That business that I'm running also is not mine. It is mentioned that there was a lion. The lion was trapped in a cage. So this lion, when it was trapped in the cage, it was all the animals were passing by, so the buck was going past. So this lion told the buck, he says, Mr. Buck, I'm in trouble, I'm locked up here, I'm jammed in the cage, please, can you help me, can you take me out of this cage? So the buck said, no, you ate my father. If I open you up, you're going to eat me up. So he said, alright, no problem, you carry on. After a little while, he found zebra was going past. So he told zebra, you please, can you help me, take me out from the cage, I'm in problems today. So zebra said, no, you ate my brother. So how can I help you? If I take you out next, you're going to eat me up also. Alright, no problem, you also go. Next one, goat was going past, so he told goat that you help me also. So the goat said, no, my child you ate up. Next you will eat me up, so nobody wants to help Mr. Lion. Then there was a fowl, rooster was going past. So I called Mr. Rooster, he said, Mr. Rooster, can you help me today? Please take me up. So before that he asked him, he said, did I make any operation of you? Did I eat any member of your family? No, my family you didn't oppress. So he said, can you take me out? So he says, no, but you'll eat me up. So he says, no, I promise, I give you my word, that I will not eat you up. And secondly, when the day you in problem, you just call for me, I'm there for you. He said, okay, no problem. He opened him up, he took him out, and Mr. Lion kept to his word also. Rooster, he went away to the beach. He wanted to sit at the seaside, Cape Town seaside, Sea Point he wants to sit at. So nevertheless, he went there. Now he is sitting there, he is relaxing. So now whilst he is relaxing over there, now the fox sees the rooster. So the fox wants to eat also. So the fox now goes to the rooster. So there was a tree nearby. So rooster very quickly got onto the top of the tree. So now fox is calling the rooster down, but the rooster doesn't want to come down. So next the rooster starts calling out. So now he's calling, he says, what are you doing? He says, no, I'm giving azan. It's time for salah. Salah time has come in. I'm giving azan. Okay, no problem. You give azan. So now he said, now azan is finished. Now come down. Let's make imam, jamaat. More sawab if you make jamaat. Oh, yeah. He says, no. We can't make jamaat. We're waiting for imam sahab. Only when the right imam comes, then we're going to make jamaat also. All right, well, who's imam sahab? Next thing, Mr. Lion, he heard. He said, no, Rooster is in problem today. I promised Mr. Rooster that I will help him. So I'm coming. Let me go and help Mr. Rooster. So now the lion is coming. So here the fox came. The fox came. Oh, lion is coming. He is coming for Rooster. So the fox started running away. So he told the rooster. Now the rooster called out to the fox. He says, Mr. Fox, where are you going? Imam sahab is here. Now we make jamaat namaz. So he says, no, that is Sunni imam. I don't read namaz by Sunni imam. So we find that here, look, he had the assistant. Whose assistant he had? He had the assistant of the lion. When he had the assistant of lion, no fear for the fox also. Similarly, when we got the help of Allah, Allah is with us, then what other problem do we have? Yeah, just terminate on this one last incident of Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayh. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayh was a very, very great king of the Balkan states. It is mentioned he had a great kingdom also. And when Allah Ta'ala wants to pull a person, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala pulls a person. Allah makes the means also. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will pull a person. On one occasion he was sleeping in his palace. In the middle of the night, he hears footsteps on his roof. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi in the middle of the night says, who's there on the roof? So he says, no, we're looking for our camel, lost camel. So he says, foolish person, be waqoof. Where did you find that the camel is going to go on the top of the roof? Go in the jungle somewhere, you will find your camel. So that was one lesson. So that person from the top, he responded, and what did he say? He said that you said that impossible to find the camel on the roof in this luxury and this comfort that you're living in. How can you find Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? So that was one lesson. On another occasion it is mentioned that Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi was sitting in his palace. One person came, he's looking through the windows, this window, that window, every window he's looking through. So he sends one of his workers there, one of his servants says, go ask him, what does he want? So he asks this person, what do you want? He says, no, I'm looking for a room in this boarding house. So he says, boarding house, this is the palace of the king, brought him to the king. King said, what do you mean that this is a boarding house? He says that you are the king. Prior to you, who was here? He says, no, my father was here. Prior to your father, who was the king? My grandfather. And before that, my great-grandfather. He says, what do you call it? A man comes in, he lives for so many years of his life and he's gone. Somebody else takes his place. Isn't this a boarding house? So immediately he got his answer. Now he went and he gave his life in the ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is just for us to take some inspiration. Not that now today we also close up everything and we go away. But here, take a lesson from here, that when a person becomes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what won't Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give him? So now he went away and he started living in a jungle. So one day he was sitting in the jungle and he's sewing his clothing. While he's sewing his clothing, one of his ministers goes by. He sees Ibrahim bin Adham, he says, oh, foolish king, what have you done? You gave up your entire kingdom. You're sitting today in the jungle and you're sewing your clothing. So he wanted to explain and show him a point. So he takes that needle that was in his hand, and there was a little river or a lake that was in front of him, and he throws this into that lake that is there. And thereafter instructs the fish. He said that, oh fish that dwell in this water, by the command of Allah instruct you that return my needle to me. It is mentioned thousands of fishes, there's a particular amount, how many hundreds of thousands also it was, that have come up with golden needles for Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi. He says, I don't want your golden needle, return my needle to me. So one fish came up and gave him his needle. So when a person becomes Allah's, the entire creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becomes subservient to this person. On one occasion in the palace of Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, he had his particular room in the palace. It is mentioned such perfumes he had in this room, that any person that goes into this room, within seconds a person will fall off to sleep. It is so enjoyable. The bed also is so comfortable. Within seconds a person is sleeping. So one day the cleaner that was cleaning the palace, she managed to get into this room. There was a guard also to make sure nobody gets into the room. So she got into the room. And within seconds she was sleeping on the bed. So nevertheless the guard came, he found her sleeping over there. So he got her out. And then he takes her, he reprimands her. And then Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah was gone out. So he said, when Ibrahim bin Adham comes back, then you are going to be punished in the proper manner that you ought to be punished. So Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, he returns from his journey. When he returns, it is meant now the guard goes up to the king, tells the king that she stepped in your room, she stepped on your bed. So he commanded that she must be given so many lashes. So she was given so many lashes. After some time he calls her, he says, did you learn your lesson now? He says, king, certainly I have learned my lesson, but I am more worried about you. So he says, why? What are you worried about me for? What problems do I have that you have to worry about me? She said that for a few moments I slept on your bed. Perhaps for a few minutes I slept on your bed. And for the few minutes that I slept on your bed, so many lashes I had to have. You are sleeping in that room every day and so many years. What will happen to you on the day of Qiyamah? So we find that these are the five signs of a healthy heart. That a person that has these five signs are found in a person, the heart of a person is healthy. And if these five signs are not found in a person, we find that now we are sick. Like a person, his heart is sick, he has to go for treatment. So here also we have to go for treatment. And what is the treatment that we require? The treatment that we require, we have to go to the spiritual hospital. That is what we term as the khanqa. And the spiritual doctor is who? Is the sheikh. The sheikh is the one that will treat the person. So for this, alhamdulillah, this tazkiyah program has taken place over here, which has commenced from Friday and will terminate tomorrow, inshallah, at Zohar Salah. And this is what the tazkiyah and tasawwuf and ihsan is all about. That all the spiritual melodies of a person, that are within a person, in the heart of a person, how can all these melodies be corrected? A person that was sick and he got treatment, how well a person is after this. So similarly, we find that if the spiritual sicknesses of a person will be corrected, we find a person will live a comfortable life in this world and a comfortable life in the akhirah. A man that has sickness in this world, when he passes away, then we find all those sicknesses has come to an end. Whether it is diabetes, whether it is high blood, all have come to an end. But for spiritual sicknesses, the moment a person dies, now the actual problem has started. In the world is nothing, now the problem has started. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal on what have been mentioned. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.